Text number 43, I believe. Is it so? 45, okay. Vaisvarya prasaktanam, taya purita chetasam, we become bewildered in mind, and we become attached. And in general we see that the more people get, the more they want. So, it is Vedic culture that children are trained right from the beginning to understand the temporary nature of the material world, and especially a king is given intensive training, not only in the art of administration, but also in religious duties, because he is Naradeva. He's the representative of God. And as such, he maintains a certain amount of opulence, but he's not at all attached to it, because he knows that that opulence can drag him down to hell and bring him back to the material world again. So the example of Bharat Maharaj is very nice. So we'll go on. Read the next verse. Yaha Dushyajan Shriti Sutta Svajanartha Naran Partyam Sriyam Suravarai Sariyavalokam Naichan Nirpas Taduchitam Mahatam Madudvit Sevanurakta Manasam Abhava Api Falguhu Yodushya Dhyanshati Sutta Svajanata Dharan.
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 Pratyam Sriyam Suravarai Sadayavalokam.
Pratyam Sriyam Suravarai Sadayavalokam.
Pratyam Sriyam Suravarai Sadayavalokam.
Pratyam Sriyam Suravarai Sadayavalokam.
Naichan Ripastaduchitam Mahatam Madudvit. Naichan vipasta duchitam mahatam madudvit.
Naichan vipasta duchitam mahatam madudvit.
Sevanurakta manasam abhavapi falgu.
Sevanurakta manasam abhavapi falgu.
Sevanurakta manasam abhavapi falgu.
Sevanurakta manasam abhavapi falgu.
Continue, my dear king. The activities of Bharat Maharaj are wonderful. He gave up everything difficult for others to give up. He gave up his kingdom, his wife, and his family. His opulence was so great that even the demigods envied it, yet he gave it up. It was quite befitting a great personality like him to be a great devotee. He could renounce everything because he was so attracted to the beauty, opulence, reputation, knowledge, strength, and renunciation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna is so attractive that one can give up all desirable things for his sake. Indeed, even liberation is considered insignificant for those whose minds are attracted to the loving service of the Lord. Purport. This verse confirms Krishna's all-attractiveness. Maharaj Bharat was so attracted to Krishna that he gave up all his material possessions. Generally, materialistic persons are attracted by such possessions. Ato griha chetra sutapta vitaya janasya mohoyam aham maam eti. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.8. One becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. The attraction for material things is certainly due to illusion. There is no value in attraction to material things, for the conditioned soul is diverted by them. One's life is successful is if he is absorbed in the attraction of Krishna's strength, Krishna's beauty, and Krishna's pastimes, as described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Mayavadis are attracted to merging into the existence of the Lord, but Krishna is more attractive than the desire to merge. A devotee doesn't care whether he is going to be reborn or not. He's simply satisfied with Lord Krishna's service in any condition. That is real mukti. Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikila svapi avastasu jivan mukta sa uchate. One who acts to serve Krishna with his body, mind, and intelligence and words is a liberated person, even within this material world. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.187. A person who always desires to serve Krishna is interested in ways to convince people that there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead and that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. That is his ambition. It doesn't matter whether he is in heaven or in hell. This is called Uttam Shloka Lalasa. Yodushtyadyanshiti sutta svajanartha dharan pratyam sriyam suravare sadayavalokam naichan nipasta duchitam matam adudvit sevanurakta manasam abhavapipalgo. Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, the activities of Bharat Maharaj are wonderful. He gave up everything difficult for others to give up. He gave up his kingdom, his wife, and his family. His opulence was so great that even the demigods envied it. Yet he gave it up. It was quite befitting a great personality like him to be a great devotee. He could renounce everything because he was so attracted to the beauty, opulence, reputation, knowledge, strength, and renunciation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Krishna is so attractive that one can give up all desirable things for his sake. Indeed, even liberation is considered insignificant for those whose minds are attracted to the loving service of the Lord. The interesting thing here is that Sukadeva Goswami is a completely renounced sannyasi or renunciate, and he never experienced in this lifetime material opulence. He was born from his mother's womb and he just came out and took sannyas. That was it. Ran down the road and no sanskaras, anything, just took sannyas. Because he had already heard the glories of Lord Krishna from within the womb, and he was very attractive. Although he was situated on the Brahman platform. Generally, someone who is in the Brahman platform is said to be self-satisfied, Atmarama. But Lord Chaitanya explained the true meaning of the Atmarama verse, that one is attracted by the Supreme Self and sees himself as a part of the Supreme Self, Lord Krishna. So here he is praising the activities of a householder, the activities of a great king, and generally Visvasu naiva kartavya strishu raja kaleshu cha. Someone who is desirous of self-realization doesn't mix with women or kings, because both of them are easily distracted by material opulence and can pollute the mind of someone who is a renunciate. But in the case of devotees, it is a totally different story. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kipa nyasi shudra kene noi jay krishna tattaveta se guru hai. Kipa vipra kipa nyasi. Whether one is a brahmana or a sannyasi or even a shudra, doesn't matter. If he's a Vaishnava, if he's devoted to Krishna, if he's fixed up in the consciousness of Krishna, if his pranar, artar, viovacha, of his body, mind, words, wealth, if everything is absorbed in Krishna, then he's accepted as our guru. He's our teacher. He's a self-realized soul. Maharaj Bharat, it's also very interesting that he attempted. Of course, he gave up everything, but later on he fell down. And that's part of the material world. Maya is very attractive and very strong, and we are very small. Any one of us can be distracted. There's, at any time, actually, even you go back to the spiritual world, Krishna does say, Mam upeti tu kaunteya punar janma na vidite. One who comes to me, he does not take birth in the material world again. It's not because he can't. It's not because the potential isn't there. It's because once burned, twice shy. Generally, after experiencing the myriad of different miseries in this material world, one will not make the same mistake again of thinking that he can find happiness in all of this illusion. So when one does go back to Godhead, he can't be lured here again. But the potential is always there, just as we originally fell. Why did we come? Because the potential was there. We are marginal energy. So even Bharat Maharaj, he rose up to the platform of bhava. He achieved a very exalted level of advancement. Not the highest level, but he came to the platform of bhava, the first stage of love of Godhead. It's beyond nishta, it's beyond sadhana, it's right up there, raganuga bhakti. But he fell down. So anyone can fall, and one might think, then what is the use in endeavoring? If such a great soul as Bharat Maharaj can fall. But here we see that Sukadeva Goswami, who is perfect in his renunciation, he's glorifying the attempt of Maharaj Bharat. His renunciation is wonderful. And in fact, the whole pastime of Bharat Maharaj is educational. It is meant for our education. And Krishna arranges so many things. He teaches all the world through the activities of his devotees, like he taught the world the Bhagavad Gita through Arjuna. Arjuna, who is Krishna's eternal associate, developed false compassion, which one would not expect. Anarya justam asvargyama kirti karam Arjuna. I'm shocked that someone of such an advanced level should have such false compassion, Arjuna. This is not becoming someone of your stature. Krishna was saying that to Arjuna, but it was actually Krishna who orchestrated Arjuna's illusion and bewilderment, because he wanted to speak the instructions of Bhagavad Gita in a real situation, which were not just theoretical. So any devotees, and I think you read this wonderful verse yesterday, one of my favorite verses, Tyakva Svadharmam Charanam Bhujam Marya Bhajana Pakota Tatet Tato Yadi Yatra Kva Vadram Abudamushikim Kovarta Apto Bhajatam Svadharma. There's just no loss or diminution in any effort that you make in devotional service. And the nice thing is, there may be other processes of self-realization. They may be meant for other ages, or someone may even be able to practice them to some degree in this age. But there's nothing like bhakti yoga. Because once you're on the the love train, you know, once you're on the love path, bhakti, you know, the bhakti marg, someone cares for you. It's not just your own prowess and your own strength. Once you show a sincere desire to go back to Godhead and make some effort and put a step forward, then you may go through ups and downs. It's only to your own discomfort you'll have to suffer, but you'll never be forgotten, because Krishna never lets go. And just as you're trying to love him, Krishna is always loving you, and you're always protected and sheltered. So one should not at all be reticent to attempt devotional service, thinking that if I'm not successful, then like a rent cloud, as is used in that verse, the translation in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asked Krishna the question, will I not be like a rent? It's not a rented cloud, it's a rent cloud. It means a cloud where there's no wind pushing it. It's just, you know, up there in the sky and has nothing to do. So Krishna says, no, neha bhikramanashvasti pratyavayo navidyate svopam apyasya dharma sitayate mahato vayat. In so many ways, he explains to him that any effort in devotional service is very positive, and nothing is ever lost, and you should have that confidence and go forward. The six symptoms of surrender are very nice. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Feel fully dependent on the mercy of Krishna, and always expect that Krishna will protect you. This is one of the symptoms of someone who's surrendering to Krishna, that he knows that Krishna is my friend, my dearmost friend, Suridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatamam Shantim Rishiti, feels peace and happiness, because he knows that I'm small. I can't do much on my own. I'm trying, but even in the association of devotees, my purva karma is agitating me, and my mind is sometimes enthusiastic and sometimes distressed. I'm not perfect, and who cares for me? But Krishna cares for you. Your spiritual master loves you very much, and even the Vaishnavas love you, and they want to see you successful, because a Vaishnava is not envious. Tate guyatamam pravakshami anasuyave. Arjuna, the reason I want to give this knowledge to you, the reason I want to have personal association with you, bhaktosi me sakacheti, you are my bhakta, my sakha, and you're not envious of me. So the devotee is not envious of Krishna, and he's not envious of other devotees either. In fact, he feels joy when he sees other devotees advance. A, just because he likes to see devotees happy. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. A real devotee wants to make everyone happy, and why should he not want to make other devotees happy? Just from that point of view, it's his nature that he likes to see other devotees succeed. In the material world, people get very envious when they see someone going ahead, and they try to pull them down by any means. Nobody's ecstatic when the other guy gets the promotion. Nobody's ecstatic when Bill Gates makes another billion. Nobody's ecstatic when somebody gets ahead in the material world. We try to find fault. That's our nature. Try to find, he made another billion, but probably killed 50 people doing it. Find some fault. That's our nature. But through spiritual eyes, in the association of devotees, when we see someone advancing, we think, this is wonderful. This devotee's advancing so much. Let me follow his example. I want to become advanced too. I want to please my spiritual master. I want to please Krishna, Radharani. And if he becomes advanced, then the whole atmosphere of the temple will become even sweeter and sweeter, and I'll have better association. So that's great. Let every devotee advance, and then maybe they'll be able to drag me back home. So the effort to become renounced and advanced, that is glorious. The effort. You can achieve success, you will achieve success. But along the way, there can be problems. Now, people, generally speaking, in the material world, we have fallen not only once, but we've fallen many times. We've fallen from the spiritual world, we've fallen from the Brahma Jyoti, and there's quite a bit to be pessimistic about in the material world. Quite a bit to be cynical about. And under the skin, lots of people out there are cynical and skeptical and defensive. So such an attitude, the heart has a It's a wonderful thing, the heart. It can exist in cold weather and in warm weather, both. And some people, they just allow their heart to get so cold and frozen, literally frozen, that they shut off all emotion, they shut off all loving relation, they shut off all hope of ever communicating or cooperating or collaborating with anyone, and they certainly close all the doors to going back home, back to Godhead, because that's the bond, that's the glue, that's the relationship with Krishna, it's love. Prema Pumartha Mahan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say Nirvikalpa Samadhi Pumartha Mahan. It didn't say some impersonal merging, Sayuja Mukti Pumartho Mahan. He didn't say that. He said love is the highest goal. Prema Pumartho Mahan. So, the heart is cold, but you can't develop love when your heart is cold. You have to melt somehow or other. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind, he's giving us a melting process. It's, fired up. Sankirtan, it gets so hot in the middle of the kirtan that your cold heart melts just by being in the in the warmth of the vibration of the holy name, your heart can melt. But the impersonalists, they can't appreciate this. And therefore, their renunciation, they do achieve renunciation. They do give up the material opulence. But because they don't take up the real thing, because they haven't got a higher taste, therefore they don't achieve perfection and they fall down. But a devotee can actually utilize everything in the material world and not be attached to it. A devotee doesn't have to renounce material opulence physically. He has to renounce it mentally. Mentally renouncing that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, mentally renouncing so many things. The devotee understands that I'm not the proprietor, I'm not the enjoyer. And then when he's renounced, he can use everything to glorify Krishna. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a reason. Everything has a utility in Krishna's service. But if you're on the impersonal path, then nothing here. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithi. The whole thing is false. It's just an illusion. You better give it up. So, of course, Maharaj Bharat, he did give up everything. And perhaps, you know, would have been better for him to turn everything towards Krishna. That is what we would do, is we would not renounce, in fact, well, Srila Prabhupada, I guess the most significant example is Srila Prabhupada, when the devotee said, we want to make you king. Srila Prabhupada, you're so wonderful, we want to make you king of the world. And he said, no, you be the king, and I will be your guru. So if we can control material opulence, at least by advising, by being very much a part of society, we're not running away. We're prepared to take a risk, because Prabhupada took a risk to save us, and Prabhupada's disciples have taken a risk to save us, and we can see it's a risk. We could possibly be safer if we retired to some remote island in the South Pacific or something, you know, Hare Krishna Island, and that was it, the Hare Krishna movement. A big island with, you know, big temple, and we all just, you know, live down there. We'd have, you know, about four or five islands, you know, one for brahmacharis, one for brahmacharinis, one for householders, one for brahmastras, and one for, you know. You know what brahmastras are, right? They're half brahmachari and half grihastha. But we're not doing that. We have got a mission, and we're taking a chance, and Krishna will protect us. And even we may lose some soldiers temporarily, but they're not lost. Don't think they're lost. You're only looking at an eclipsed view of time. Chipam bhavati dharmatma. Very quickly, Lord Chaitanya, they will rejoin Lord Chaitanya. So, and they're still glorious, because everything they did was glorious. So keep that in mind. And another essential point is that we need activity to purify our lives. Maharaj Bharat fell down when he went to the forest and tried to renounce everything, but his senses took up again an engagement. He was meant to kshatriya. He was a kshatriya. So he was meant to protect. So he didn't protect the citizens, so he protected a deer. And loved the deer and became the deer. So, we need engagement. Prabhupada is a genius. Prabhupada knows better than anyone what we need. He knows the medicine. You go into a pharmacy, there may be so many varieties of medicine, but the expert doctor, he gives you a prescription for what you need, and Prabhupada knows what we need. We need lots of hard work in Krishna service. We don't need to go to some holy place and do near bhajan. We need devotees, experienced devotees who will take the trouble, the headache, the risk to manage a big institution, to develop such things as Varnashram Dharma and many other aspects of Prabhupada's mission that he left for us to complete. If there was nothing for us left to do, where would be the glory in our service to him? He's given us lots of ample opportunity to build the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Nothing like it in the universe. And no one can even come close or compare. It's like a giant ocean liner and little tugboats putt-putting around, you know, thinking that they're pulling the ocean liner sometimes. But no comparison. So, I'll stop there. Are there any questions, comments? Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.